Well, friends, I would like to take just a moment to let you all know what we are about to experience together. There is no formal sermon today. Some of you may be greatly relieved by that fact. What we are going to share in the moments that follow is a moving tradition from the Western Church that is practiced today throughout the world, simply called lessons and carols. The tradition began in 1880 when an Anglican bishop named Edward Benson put a simple worship service together in a small cathedral in Cornwall, England. And it was designed to be a simple retelling of the Advent story, but told in a way that sets itself in the entire arc, the entire narrative of Scripture and of redemption and of salvation. And during World War I, when the then dean of the chapel at King's College at Oxford found himself at a loss on how to lead chapel services during World War I, he came across Benson's liturgy. And from the place of darkness and terror that was that war, he repeated the lessons and carols of Benson's liturgy. Since 1914, this service has been practiced globally by millions of people. The BBC broadcasts it every year to some 30 million people. And you will find today this tradition played out in congregations all around the globe. It is a great joy and comfort to stand in that tradition today. We will read a lesson from Scripture and then follow it with a carol, and that is the simple format. And the best place to begin the lesson and the waiting of Advent is to not hurry ourselves to the manger without first spending time in the garden. So receive now this first lesson from Genesis chapter 3. This is the word of the Lord. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say to you that you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you will die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was also to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew then that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman you gave to me to be with, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And she said, "Well, the serpent deceived me, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground out of which you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. This is the word of the Lord.
Seated. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the seas. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, Ephrathah, which means fruitful or blessed, you who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, for they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our final lesson for today comes to us from Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. This final passage, my friends, points to the light of Christmas. It is not a passage that makes most of our Christmas playlists or the verses perhaps that we read around the tree. Isaiah was a prophet of Israel in the Old Testament, writing over 700 years before the birth of Jesus. At Isaiah's time, the Assyrians were the ruling power of the day. Fear was tangible as armies took them captive, terrorized, and eventually exiled the people of God. And there was chaos and turmoil and anger and injustice and pain and strife. And the landscape was dark and dry, and it felt certainly that God was hard to find. Yet Isaiah looked up and saw a glimmer of light 700 years from them on the horizon, the faint light of Jesus Christ. God gave him a vision for what was and is to come. And in this passage, we go back to Genesis. Dry land is once again saturated. Flowers burst into color and bloom. The parched desert not only rejoices, but helps the people break into song. And Isaiah gives the people of God direction. They are to hope and believe they will see the glory of God. They are not to fear. They are to rest their anxious hearts in the Lord. In the face of fear, God says, "Here I am, here is your God." Light, my friends, will indeed triumph over darkness. All is not forever lost. And while today we may not physically find ourselves dragged across the desert or under siege, although around the world this is certainly happening, for those of us gathered here today, our darkness may look different, but the light of Christ is the same. Loss, anger, anxiety, fractured families, cancer, death, disease. We numb ourselves to whatever distraction seems easiest to grab. Is this really all there is? Where is the Lord in the darkness of our time? Friends, Advent calls us to look toward the horizon, to open our eyes and to blink and to look until indeed we finally see that salvation has come and light has burst forth and will shine in the darkness now and forevermore. Amen.